The question I get asked more than almost any other is, can you recommend a great financial advisor for me? And I totally wish I could help, but there are so many variables that go into finding the right fit. So far, there isn't a TripAdvisor or a Yelp, kind of the equivalent of those things in the land of financial advisors. But there have been a number of services that have tried. And we're going to take a look at another one that is just getting started. It is called Matchworth. Robert Irwin is co-founder. He joins us now. Hello there.
Hello.
So many recommendations out there in so many other categories. I mentioned TripAdvisor. There's Rank My Professor. There's Angie's List for contractors. What makes the financial advice space so much more difficult?
It's a great question. There are so many different variables to take into account, and every individual person has specifics that they want to see in an advisor. And it's really hard to standardize that across the board. We're making good inroads into solving that problem for sure, but it's custom. Everyone's personal.
So tell us about your model. How's it work? How's Matchworth work?
Essentially, Matchworth is the first unaffiliated online platform in Canada for regular Canadians to find, evaluate, and choose a financial advisor who suits their needs, not the banks.
Now, I don't know if I'd say first, because I worked on Money Sense Approved,
and while that isn't
still in market, that was what we were trying to do with there. How do the steps work here?
Well, the steps work. The individual can come into land on the site, create an investor profile, which really is more about asking the investor what they're looking for in an advisor and less about themselves. And the algorithm that we have matches them to an advisor who's on that platform. And we give some recommendations. They're not hard recommendations. You can cycle through and change that filter to find what you're looking for. But the way it differs from anything that MoneySense would have had on that advisor list, it's essentially a static list, whereas this is an engagement platform. So we encourage the investor to ask questions that are meaningful to their personal financial situation. And advisors essentially compete for that business. The investor is anonymous the whole time.
You ask some qualitative questions. So you've asked the quantitative questions like assets under management and income and province and all that stuff. But some of the qualitative questions include, do you prefer your advisor to be traditional or creative?
Yeah.
I wasn't even sure what that meant.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
in their hobbies, like do we need a visual artist? What did you mean by that?
Well, traditional versus creative. I was an advisor for 15 years, and a lot of the colleagues that I had were great people, but we all treated our practices differently. And some of them were very traditional in the sense that they would go by the book and follow standard patterns, and some would be more creative in their approach to problem solving. And it's an individual, it's a very personal thing for the advisor as well as the investor.
How do you factor in the different ways in which advisors are compensated? So three methods, basically, commission-based, fee-based, and fee-only, which we talk a lot about on this program. Most Canadians don't even know that there is a fee-only option there. How do you navigate that? How do you make that a part of the evoked set of advisors you offer up, given that fee-based doesn't work for someone with assets under management of, you know, less than 250, maybe even less than 500?
Well, what we do is we make an attempt at essentially educating the investor. So once they're aware of it, it becomes, you know, now they start looking for it. We filter through that with the algorithm, so you get matched accordingly. And then most importantly, we encourage investors to start a conversation with the advisors to find the actual nuanced answer they're looking for and filter out the advisor that or find the advisor that matches with what they're looking for. Exactly.
This is free for the investor,
always,
correct? And so how much does an advisor pay to participate, to get themselves included in your algorithm?
All advisors are invited to our site. We're unaffiliated. We have all the basic data for all advisors in Canada on the site. And you can come claim that profile for free as an advisor, and you can get matched to an investor for free. The charge to the advisor is a flat rate monthly or annual. It's just over $1,000 annually. And it's not related to how many matches or connections they get. It's just a flat rate access to communicate to those investors.
How do you vet them? So you say everybody's able to be on your site, how do you vet them? Because some would have, you know, at its simplest, some would have complaints against them by regulatory bodies or other kinds of things. But then there's a lot of other nuances that would have you, if you were talking to your best friend and you had three advisors you could recommend to them, you might say, I'm not sure about that one. Don't do that one. So how do you vet them?
So we have everyone's invited, again, being unaffiliated. We have to keep that door open. But we have a badge, a vetted badge. Or a verified badge, sorry.
That goes like the good housekeeping seal of approval.
Very similar, yeah. And we just go through, it's at the advisor's request to have themselves verified. If they send an inquiry in saying, hey, I'd love to get verified, they just send that to us and we go through our steps. And that's a manual process we go through.
And what are you verifying?
Well, we cross-reference the CSA data and the disciplinary action from their website. So we just manually look at that. We ask them a series of questions. We verify their approach to investment that is consistent with their licensing, meaning what they're offering, what they can provide advice on, what they can sell. And then we also even go into some of their clients and ask for discussions with them to verbally verify a lot of that.
How do you think about geography? Because I think most people would choose an advisor that they could go meet in person every once in a while. But we're in a world in which so many professional services are offered remotely. So if I say I'm from, you know, the city of Calgary, am I only going to get connected to people who are based in Calgary? Or could the search be farther afield?
Well, right now, I mean, we're fairly new, so the data we have, we've had to sort of loosen the algorithm a little bit to allow that people do get matched. And as that those numbers increase, we'll tighten it up to be very specific. So for sure, some people want to be – they're indifferent as to where their advisor is using virtual tools, and that's one of the questions the advisor answers. They have a whole series of questions that they answer on the site to help differentiate their value they're offering as well. So it depends on right now, yes, geography. It's based on what the investor is looking for.
You're talking about a match here, but not a marriage. So if we put it into an online dating world, you're kind of the Tinder or OkCupid or Plenty of Fish or whatever the sites are. I've been married for a very long time. I don't know the sites, but those, the whatever those sites are.
So I'm told. So
all those out there. What then should an investor be asking to see if this is the right fit? So you've done the algorithm, which means they're going on a first date for coffee, but how does the investor then determine if this is someone that they should go on a second date with or a third date?
So what we've done, and that's essentially the nucleus of the product we've created, is we want to create an environment where the engagement is real and the investor's anonymous. They can ask real questions, ideally tough questions, hold the advisor accountable to the things that matter most to that investor, and have these advisors compete for that business. And with those answers that the advisors clamor to answer, they love it, and the quality is fantastic. We feel the investor can find the nuances that differentiate the advisors amongst a large sea of homogeneity.
What questions should they ask in that first coffee meeting? So after they leave your platform, because they will then, you know, go and meet this person, and maybe they'll meet three people from your platform. What is the number one thing that they should ask in real life, IRL? Look at me, sounding like such a cool kid.
I would say, you know, really, it's very personal. It's mostly what we look at is the connection between the two people. Assuming they have their designations at that point, you've verified all these things, they're potentially a great advisor on paper. But what's going to last, what's going to be the variable that keeps these people together is their method of communication, how that works. Do they communicate as a top-down? Do they tell you how it works? So it's less about the questions and more about how they communicate. But if you were to ask a question directly, you know, I would ask them actually something peripheral to finance, something outside of finance. Ask them personal things about what is going on and how they've dealt with things in their life and some of the challenges. Because what happens is they're going to break down, they're going to jump out of that mold of the standard answer, and they're going to tell you more meaningfully from
You don't mean literally break down, like break down into tears?
I hope not. No. I mean, that would be an extreme version,
and
that's going to tell you a lot of information about that advisor.
At least they can emote.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck with the launch. Rob, I appreciate you coming and talking to us about it.
Great.
Robert Irwin is co-founder of Matchworth.